Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's a Monday, and it's the seniors. As always, the seniors is brought to you by our good friends over at Heartland Flags. They have the flag for pretty much any occasion. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. It doesn't matter what the weather is outside. They've got the flags that are gonna trip your trigger. Check them out online at heartlandflags.com, or you can check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines, or give them a call, 515-282-7603. Check them out online again. That's heartlandflags.com. Rob, I see you have the Chicago Cubs flags pulled up.
Yes.
You're telling me that they've had a bit of a shortage of Cubs flags.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not alone, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Everywhere around the country, probably people ordering from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got my eyes on a few really cool 3x5 ones that are World Series themed. But in the interim, I think I'm going to head down to their fine location on Southwest 9th.
Uh-huh.
Pick up a garden flag. As you know, I enjoy gardening, so
yeah.
I can put a nice – they got a nice W World Series Champions flag here. My dad's a big Red Sox fan, which is why I also am a Red Sox fan, just behind the Cubs.
That's so ugly, it might keep the crows out of your garden.
It's beautiful. What are you talking about? Fortunately, we don't have crows. I only have to worry about slugs and things like
that.
Oh,
okay.
Squirrels a little bit. But my dad's a huge Red Sox fan, so we're going to find I'm finding a lot of great stuff there, some metal wall art. I'm putting some Christmas gift list together for when I head down there.
Absolutely perfect for the holiday season. Heartland Flags, look them up online. Heartlandflags.com, 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. So, Rob, did anything happen this weekend?
Oh, just records galore for Iowa State football and men's basketball. A pretty pretty amazing, you know, more 24-hour period.
Yeah, no kidding. Iowa State, obviously, want to start with football?
Yeah, let's go chronologically.
Okay. So Iowa State going with picking up the 66-10 win over Texas Tech on Saturday. Did you see this coming, Rob Gray?
Well, I did predict a win.
Yeah, me too.
But that type of dominance, I mean, I've never seen that from Iowa State against a conference opponent. And obviously, that therein lied the records,
mm-hmm.
you know, record number of points. I don't know. I don't think the margin of victory is necessarily a record, but you have to go way back into the midst of the Big Eight era.
Yeah.
Just thorough dominance. It seemed like there was a lot of pent-up, I don't even want to say frustration, just a lot of pent-up desire
mm-hmm.
to unleash something
right.
that has been built during this process. That they couldn't do it in the close losses. I suppose we're a part of this whole thing. But when you look at the way the team played together, or I shouldn't say didn't play together in the first 2 weeks, to the way they have played since, and that's just kept spiking upward,
mm-hmm.
It was the proverbial perfect storm for them to just, when they started hitting, they just kept coming with combinations again and again and again and again. And you made the point during the game, and I thought it was really telling, you know, the Texas Tech players with their jackets on and huddling by
yeah.
the little heated parts of the bench. That started happening pretty early.
Well, they had that heated bench that might have been the size of my couch at home.
Yeah.
And I think they had 10 people packed onto it at one point.
Yeah, I'm surprised some didn't sit on other guys' laps.
Well, and the funny thing is they had two of them. Like they were all just piled onto the one. It was just kind of weird.
Yeah, I think eventually.
Well, then it was funny because you look over at the Iowa State sideline, and they had the big benches.
Yeah.
The big heated ones.
Yep.
And
home field advantage.
And nobody was sitting on them. You know, everybody was up watching the game, and they were cheering, which, I mean, obviously I'm sure has something to do with the – but even from the beginning of the game, they all looked – active, mm-hmm. energized compared to Texas Tech.
Jacked up, and people make the point that, you know, Lubbock is not like, it's not like a subtropical zone.
Yeah.
That they experience cold weather there, and the game was, I think, in the mid-30s, and upper 30s almost, and yes, it was windy, but the wind has been somewhat mitigated by the South End Zone project being completed. Still windy, but uh-huh. not quite as severe. I just think I don't know if it was the old Texas Tech felt that they could show up and win because they always score.
Yeah.
Maybe the whole deal is, okay, we gave up some points early. We're down 7-0. Oh, they come and get the field goal. So many key moments in that game, holding them to a field goal on that drive where they started to chunk yardage down the field. You know, right. It started to look like one of those, oh, man, are they going to get this kind of drives? And then when the offense goes 3 and out, do they score on 2 plays? But the genius in my mind, the way John Haycock and his staff devised the variety of blitzes, and the mm-hmm. delayed blitz was so effective because you create options yeah. there. And Mahomes was off balance the whole time. And a lot of times when he's off balance, he can still make plays. But then sometimes even in single coverage, a secondary played its best game of the year.
Oh, far, yeah, by far.
I mean,
far.
The breakups and then, of course, the pick six, first one since the 2012 Liberty Bowl. Jeremy Reeves, Kamari Cotton-Moya turning that into Big 12 player, the defensive player of the week, mm-hmm. Deservedly so.
Yeah.
I mean, so many guys making plays on the ball, so many guys making plays up front.
I think the thing that has maybe kind of gotten lost here in the last couple of days is you think back to the game and you mentioned that drive. They drive all the way down the field and Iowa State holds them to a field goal. And then they come back on the next drive and that's when Mahomes gets hurt on what was it, the second play of the drive.
Yep.
That was – I think that – how much momentum they lost when he had to come out of the game and that other guy came in and they got back-to-back sacks on him.
Yeah.
You know, that was a huge momentum point for the defense, especially because then Iowa State was able to march right down and score. Then all of a sudden they had a 2-score lead compared to just one. And it was they'd put in Texas Tech into a point where they were chasing Iowa State, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of times they can win that chase mm-hmm. or they can gobble it up, but Iowa State, you know, call it momentum, call it whatever, greatly improved execution. They just were able to get them off the field enough. And, I don't know. Is his name Shimonek or Shimonek? I can't remember. I know
former,
he was once on Iowa's roster.
Yeah, former Iowa Hawkeye.
But, yeah, that creates, again, it goes back to that perfect storm reference, as cliche as it might be. All those elements, though, mm-hmm. coalescing to – the form just 66-10. I mean, that's a banner. I mean, that's a banner. You hold that flag, you hoist it.
Yeah.
And man, if you want to point to next, and you want to point to this week, West Virginia, to try to get a 3-game winning streak, man, that's blazing a path.
I have to think that Cliff Kingsbury's seat's pretty hot right now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, because I mean that's an embarrassment. Those yeah. guys showed zero fight. I mean zero.
Well, they looked like they were done once they got, what was it, 21-3?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, they were done. It didn't look like they wanted to play anymore.
And I didn't feel like, because of past experiences, that even uh-huh. a 35-3, until Kamari Cotton-Moya got that pick six, and heck, we're still in the second quarter, then I'm like, I don't see any way. I mean, Texas Tech could score more than 42.
It would be monumental if they did this.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
know?
Yeah, they could score more than 42. But that defense isn't going to stop Iowa State from scoring again.
Yeah.
So that erased – I mean, that was the absolute clincher, although I think you're right. To the Texas Tech players, it seemed like getting down – heck, even 14-3, it started to show signs. But 21-3, you know, for whatever reason, and I'm sure Coach Kingsbury and his staff were scratching their heads, or I don't know, maybe they saw a lackluster team coming into through game week.
They just looked like – It looked like Iowa State was the team with 4 wins that's trying to win their yeah. last 2 to get to a bowl game. When it's actually that's Texas Tech that was in that situation.
Exactly. I mean, and that's exactly how they played, and that's what makes it even more. I mean, I'm sure from a Texas Tech perspective, just appalling mm-hmm. and inexplicable that those guys could put. Flat is a gross understatement for what they put out on the field. And again, that doesn't happen in a vacuum. I mean. The way Iowa State played,
yeah.
basically, I was talking to a neighbor, Iowa State fan, after the game that night. We may or may not have had a shot or two. But the wrestling analogy, I mean, the Iowa State broke Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And once that happened, there might have been a few little, get the head off the mat a little bit. For Texas Tech, but man, then Iowa State just firmly applied it right back down, and
it was like, have you ever played Mortal Kombat?
I haven't.
Oh,
well, sorry.
They say at the end, it's finish him. It's like the thing that you're that the game says. So,
and that's been a theme.
And then you do your big move and you finish him.
Yeah, I used to play a game that predates that. Given I'm old, there was some I can't even remember what it was called.
Pong.
On Sega Genesis, Pong. Pong's making a comeback a little bit. Some of those old school games. You got that NES.
I was
going to
say the new NES
out.
Came out a couple weeks ago.
I think Sega's trying to throw one of theirs old, you know, because Genesis.
Didn't Mortal Kombat debut on the Sega Genesis?
It might have. But, man, when I had the Genesis, I was playing Lakers versus Blazers. I mean, not Blazers, but they had the themed years of hoops and a lot of football and all that stuff. I was playing more sports games.
You were playing Tecmo Bowl?
I remember playing Tecmo Bowl on the NES, yeah.
You were the guy that always picked Bo Jackson, weren't you?
Yeah, they also had RBI Baseball, which is kind of a cult favorite.
Yeah, that game made a comeback a couple years ago, I think.
Sometimes the music, the awful music, and it just goes in my head. The little MIDI player, that's what it does during the game. We're sidetracked.
I played the Sony PlayStation, which is...
All the way up through to the view?
What do you mean?
As your life has progressed, you've gone up from PlayStation to 2.
No, I went to from PlayStation to PlayStation 2 to... Then I had a 360. Hmm. And then I had a PS3. Then I had a PS4 for a while. Now I have Xbox One.
Okay.
I've kind of just adrift.
Just like my son. He's got a Wii U, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so...
I'm excited for the new Mario game to come out on iPhone. We've gone way off track.
Yeah,
but
that's all right.
I think the thing we haven't mentioned this yet is how well Joel Lanning played, and how nice it was to see him have so much success, and then how stupid it is that he didn't win Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week this week.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, to have that kind of, the 5 rushing touchdowns. I asked him. Obviously, he was in high demand for interviews late this morning, early this afternoon. But just it seemed like he was releasing emotion with each touchdown, because when I watch the highlights, he gets in untouched. The untouched theme of it all was breathtaking, really. But he's like, all right, this is great. Second one, wow, this is really great. And then you start to see a little bit of I'm pounding the chest.
Yeah,
doing
does the Superman thing. Yeah,
and it's funny because he said, yeah, I mean, I've always been kind of taught to be the guy that act like you've been there, so hand it up.
Yeah.
After it started happening, he said some guys on the sideline were kind of talking, come on, add a little something to that. A little Superman, do something. He's like, well, why not? If I can get in there. And it just kept going. And that speaks to the fun and the support that these guys have. And that's, I think, going to be, the focus of my advance, just the way unity has been built in this team. And in years past, we used to always, because how many times, even particularly when Wally Burnham's defenses were good by Big 12 standards early on when they're going to bowl games, it was always a top half defense. Defense still carried the offense. The offense was not, and that's what happened a lot of times in subsequent years. Now, some of those years, the defense was getting gashed for 450 rushing yards and all that, but the offense still wasn't mustering much of anything. So the games that were close, it was usually the defense doing just enough to kind of keep them hanging around.
Yeah.
And then, the offense was three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. Obviously, a few outliers. The offense started hot at Oklahoma State last year. And it's not a perfect comparison, but man, it seemed like there were two camps. It was offense, defense, and rarely did the twain did they meet or whatever to garble an old saying. But Jacob Park was telling me after the win that he was mad that the season was ending because of how they're playing. And that quote I'm probably going to reuse. I haven't put it out there yet, but to paraphrase, he said, I'm sometimes in the defensive huddle in practice. Kamari's in our huddle. I mean, there's a lot of working together and learning from each other from both sides of the ball. And the way they talk about each other, both sides. I mean, in the past, if the defense goes, the opposite goes, oh, yeah, they played a great game. And, we fed off that. That was great. That really helped us out. Different tone, it seems to be, with this group. And Campbell, interestingly enough, Coach Campbell, said the way Joel Lanning and Jacob Park handled the quarterback rotation, really graciously, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Set a tone.
It's going to be interesting to see how that all works out moving forward. Coach Campbell talked this morning a lot about how they feel like they're still kind of scratching the surface with what they can do with Joel Lanning. And then obviously he was asked after during the little scrum whether or not he would be coming back next year. He said he would.
Yeah.
I guess I'll get your opinion on that. I mean, I guess maybe I'd heard a few rumblings, but I'd never really heard anything like definitive that maybe he was going to leave. But, you know, obviously it's good that he says he's going to be coming back.
I hadn't either. And I understand, you know, certainly being in the...
Like, I think I'd heard that conversation, but I'd never really heard anything like, he's like, oh, I'm leaving.
Yeah. You know? Well, everyone has their own sources. And I think, you know, if a source that you trust indicates that perhaps that could happen, I mean, due diligence as a journalist, you can throw that question out there, you know, much like the Mike Warren question, where I think that
right.
was much more legitimate.
Yeah,
for sure. When Lanning was asked, it seemed to catch him off guard a little bit.
And the thing with Mike Warren is I'll still say, you know, I'll fully believe that when he's on the team come when this first game happens next year. You know, not I'm saying that he is going to leave. I'm just saying, what's a kid say in that situation?
You know? I like the way he did handle it.
I like the way he handled it as well.
But you're going to have people talking to you.
Do you get what I'm saying, though? Just like it.
A different level
of. It's hard for someone to come out and say with two games left in the season, yeah, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like that's a bad look.
Yeah, it's a very bad look. And you know, Lanning didn't really bat an eye. He's kind of an unflappable guy in that way, it seems like. But you know, it was asked, and he said
the question. It has to be asked if you hear about it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I'm not like ripping anybody for asking the question. I'm just
we hadn't heard much.
Yeah.
That would seem of substance that would seem to indicate. Anything beyond a very
legitimate possibility. Definitely. All right, you want to switch to hoops? We kind of went off.
We threw some video game stuff in there. That's all right. Speaking of video games.
Yeah, I feel like speaking of video games, Iowa State put up video game numbers yesterday. The Citadel, they remind me of if you've ever played against your like little cousin. On NBA 2K, and they don't really know how to play, but they're just out there. They're out there trying to get their money. They're out there trying to do them.
Yep.
And taking bad shots, shooting a lot of threes. They don't really have full control over the buttons.
Yeah.
And it just ends badly. It ends in you giving up 130 points and losing by 67.
That defense was virtually non-existent. I couldn't really detect a true pattern to it other than guys occasionally tried to get in front of guys who were driving. Because how many layup attempts? And I mean, so many.
Well, that's the funny thing. It's like they didn't even look like they try.
Well, they didn't defend the three-point line, and they didn't defend the paint. So wonder. Now, Coach Promas said, I mean, their coach, and his name's escaping me.
Duger Balcom.
But he's done some things along the way. Yeah. And I think it's gotten to the point now where, like when Johnny Orr was coach at Iowa State, a lot of players did like to play fast, but it was somewhat uncommon to have your team built that way. I think it's becoming more common, and more players want to play that way. So if you're a school like the Citadel, that's your selling point. Hey, we're always going to play this way.
It's funny, if you look at like the KenPom numbers, if you look at four years ago or so, one of those Fred teams, when he was first starting to get it going – they led the nation in tempo.
Yeah.
And the number that they led the nation in tempo with would probably be 30th right now.
Yeah, it's accelerated.
Yeah.
Just the change.
Yeah.
Because of, and maybe that's, people are playing more that way at the high school level. Some states instituting
I remember looking at
shot clocks.
And looking at that, and I was going to write a blog about it, and it's like, it makes you wonder if Iowa State almost brought that in a little bit, you know? Because it kind of got trendy there after that to where you play the space and pace, hoy ball, you know, what we've talked about for however long. Now that's the trendy thing in basketball. And it was probably trending that way before, but it's like you look at it and it's like, okay, Iowa State started to have some success where they were near the top in tempo.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden everybody was doing it.
Well, Iowa State validated it.
Yeah.
And then when you think about how many guys want to go to the next level and the reality of things is...
Matt Campbell.
you know, how preparing young men for the NBA game or just the game in general, because a lot of guys have overseas opportunities. That's appealing if you want to bring in top-level recruits. I mean, it's not that appealing to say, hey, we're going to grind out every possession and make X number of passes every mm-hmm. single time because that's what I say we're going to do and that's the way we play. It's disciplined. It's this, it's that. You can have a good measure of discipline, which I think Prohm has brought in
right.
With the pace, but still be a pretty freewheeling group. And, I think that's intriguing and a good point that how many teams – yes, a smattering of them throughout the decades have had teams that play really fast,
right.
but it didn't take hold. And then when Iowa State was able to do it and turn program around so rapidly.
Right. Like, would it be that insane for a team to play as fast as, like, Loyola Marymount did back when Paul Westhead was the coach there? I don't think it would.
No. No.
I'm going to look this up. I have to know what this was.
While you're looking it up, kudos to Monte Morris, obviously, on the triple-double, mm-hmm. fifth in school history. And I believe it was saying fifth in the last 5 or 6 years that in which there was no turnover. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. All defensive rebounds. He sort of joked and smiled about that. He knew if he was going to get them, that was where they were at. And then Prohm joked that Nazmitru Long kind of shuffled off a couple towards him, but really neat accomplishment for a guy that's obviously set a new standard in the NCAA for assist to turnover ratio much of his time at Iowa State. And then getting Naz going was pretty big. 26 points, missed a couple that I'm sure he wanted back, but concerted effort to really get him going after an emotional game with his brother in mm-hmm. Mount St. Mary's. It wasn't his best game, and he... very active, really going to the rim really well, and you know his 3-point shot is going to come.
Yeah, definitely. I can't find this. I think I might have been messing up with what I said.
Uh oh. Which part?
I would have sworn that when I was talking about tempo, they weren't as highly ranked as I thought they were. I would have sworn that I looked this up one day. I feel like an idiot now.
That's all right. We all do from time to time.
I had a bad take. I apologize, everybody. But it is crazy, though. You look at, like, 78.2 in adjusted tempo led in 2011.
Yep.
Now in 2017, there's a team at 83. I mean, the Citadel's at 83.
Like, yeah.
78. You know, they're all quite a bit higher than
Several teams higher than that.
Yeah.
In the span of, five seasons.
Yeah.
That's not a bad take at all.
I just had a bad take.
It maybe wasn't as pronounced as you had initially thought. But that's still that's significant. It's mm-hmm. just not off the charts significant for sure.
Yeah. It's just like a trend in the game. You know, the basketball goes in cycles. In 5 years, everybody will love big men again. They'll all play grinded out.
Yeah. You and I's player, Clint Carlson, is kind of a little bit of a throwback. We know George was a little bit. George could do it all to uh-huh. bring it up, and I don't think that part's going to go away. Where you have big men that are a bit more versatile, it would be kind of cool to see a team built around an old Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There's actually going to be more teams that are versatile that way. I think with the way that guys now, big guys really aren't. It was like, if you're big, you go to the block, and then you stand your ass on the block.
Yep.
You know? Now it's like, okay, if you're big, you got to learn how to dribble. You got to learn how to shoot. You got to learn how to do everything. Just because there's more emphasis on being able to play every position than there was. I mean, even when I was younger, it was I never did anything but stand on the block.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there were still plotting big men in the NBA in those days where if there's a fast break, you're watching the quick guys coming down, and then here comes the big guy huffing and puffing
here
down,
comes,
bringing up the rear.
Here comes Vlade running down the middle.
Or Big Country Bryant Reeves or something.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, imagine Big Country having to face 40 minutes of hell.
Mark Eaton.
And Nolan Richardson's teams.
Oh, my God. I'm sure given how good some of those teams were, they could try to do it. But that's where the styles would contrast so sharply. Uh-huh. And you don't see that. I mean, you and I contrast a little bit. They'll get out and run. They have adapted that where they'll do that on occasion where it's not always grinded out. But the style, you don't have those sharp contrasts that you used to have back in the day when – and you should be thrilled that you didn't have to – I was alive long enough to be see pre-shot clock games. Uh-huh. I mean, there were games where guys would literally go four corners if they had a 5-6 point lead and a team that could really handle the ball well and have possession for minutes upon minutes. Talk about a not fun Rob, style of the game.
Rob remembers the days when if you took a shot from further away than 10 feet, your ass was going to be on the bench.
I wouldn't go that far. You always make my advancing age stretch even further back into years.
You were at the first Final Four, weren't you?
What's that?
You were at the first Final Four, weren't you?
No, my first one was the one Iowa State went to in the 40s. It's pretty cool.
One other thing I wanted to mention today. Abdul Nader scored 33 points last night.
He's for the Maine Red Claws.
He's averaging close to 30 a game during his D-League debut.
Yeah, I think all signs pointed to this.
Yeah.
The fact that the Celtics wanted him. And, there's a reason there was hype building in the local media there around him, mm-hmm. too, because, you know, people are talking. We talked about sources early. You know, some people are saying, hey, this guy, we think he can make a big impact on this team eventually. And he's kind of a prototypical guy.
Maybe not this year, but next year.
I mean, if he can, and he improved so much his senior season, and we wrote about that a lot, but people wrote about that. But improved a lot on the defensive end, added some moves to his repertoire. And then I think probably for him, if his defense improves even more, then he's a really tough, not only a tough guard, but a tough guy to get by because he can block shots, he can move his feet. I mean, good for him. His journey's been an interesting one, documented at Cyclone Fanatic and elsewhere.
Yeah, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out since we talk a lot about George. We haven't talked about him much. I think I looked up Jameel's stats one day for the Perth Wildcats.
He's doing well down under.
They've been in the championship series like 30 years in a row or something like that. But he's been playing well. So he's been doing very well. Are you good?
Yeah.
I'm still pissed at myself for my misremembering the KenPom stats from 10 years ago.
Well, what you need to know, and this happens when you've got a little bit more age and a little bit more perspective, we all make mistakes, and you live with them.
Everybody's going to kill me now.
And don't kick yourself.
They're going to kill me on the forums.
They'll do it in a good-natured way. They'll probably kill me and say, I really did think Rob was 80 years old, like Jared said.
They're all going to just make fun of you for the fact that you've never played Mortal Kombat. That's what will happen.
But I played a lot of video games. I mean, I was pretty good at them.
I'll play you in Madden right now.
I haven't played for a long time. My son doesn't like sports games, so the only games I played with him were like Skylanders and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really out of practice on Madden. I was pretty good at that.
Somebody get at me so we can go play in the My Park on 2K. Have a good week, Rob.
Yeah, you too, Jared. We'll see you around a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks again to and have a great Thanksgiving
and
as
hey,
well.
Let's plug, happy Thanksgiving upcoming to everyone. And, of course, it's a big occasion down in Florida where Iowa State will get its first tests. And, of course, very momentous for Chris Williams and Brent Bloom to work together on the radio. Chris will be in doing double, triple duty, maybe even more, being there for Fanatic and, of course, calling the games.
There will never be more mentions of Harlan, Iowa in the Hawkeye 10 than there will be on Thursday's Cyclone Radio broadcast of the Iowa State men's basketball game against Indiana State and Harlan native Greg Lansing.
Wow, yeah.
There's just so many stars coming together for the Hawkeye 10 to get a lot of pub this week.
Well, I've got a Harlan connection, too. My wife's grandfather was a longtime athletic director and football coach and track coach, I believe, Swede Johnson. He's in the Iowa High School Athletics Hall of Fame.
He preceded Mitch Osborne?
No, this is football.
He's the athletic director there now, though.
Oh, yeah, Mitch. I worked with Mitch a ton when I was covering boys' hoops. Great guy.
Uh-huh.
Been through a lot. A lot of great sons played, too.
This might be the record for Hawkeye 10 and Harlan mentions on the seniors as well.
I wanted to put it over the top, so that's why I brought in my own connection.
Yeah, so make sure and tune in to Chris and Bloom for those three games here later this week. We won't have a Cyclone Fanatic radio show, obviously, because Thursday is Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and I are recording a basketball podcast with Kirk Holland tomorrow.
Nice.
So I think that's going to run in place of On the Trail this week. And then obviously we'll have CFTV Live, the final episode. Or I guess maybe we'll do one next week. But
the season finale.
Yeah. This is the season finale, or next week's the season finale of CFTV Live with Jeff Woody, Tuesday at 12:15. And then I'll be on the podcast this week. So I'll have that. We'll have that on Wednesday as well. Great podcast for all your traveling needs.
Absolutely.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And thanks again to our sponsor, Heartland Flags. And that's all.